You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, and by phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now, my guest today is Arnold Kimmins, and I'm excited to introduce you to Arnold. Arnold has more than 30 years' experience as a sales and marketing executive. And after that amount of time in the corporate world, he left the corporate world to join a group called Ministry Ventures as Vice President of Strategic Development for Ministry Ventures. Now, Ministry Ventures is based in Greenville, South Carolina, or at least Arnold is, and he equips nonprofit leaders to strengthen their organizations and develop their leadership skills. He also leads the business development process for Ministry Ventures and recruits new coaches to join the Ministry Ventures team in strategic U.S. cities. Welcome to the program, Arnold Kimmins. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, Robbie. Thanks so much. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to talk with you this morning.
You and me both, sir. You and me both. Well, I just kind of gave a brief introduction of who you are. So if you don't mind, take a minute or two to tell us a little bit more about yourself and kind of how you got to this point in your career.
Okay, thank you. So I was born in the upstate and spent my formative years here, went off to college, and then pursued a career in the business world. And as you mentioned in the intro, about 30 years in sales and marketing for a couple of medium-sized corporations. And then about 5 years or so ago, felt the Lord calling me into some other type of occupation, some way to serve Him more directly and more intentionally. And so, as you mentioned, that led me to joining an organization called Ministry Ventures. And I'm a coach and a consultant, mostly to small faith-based nonprofits here in the upstate of South Carolina. I do some coaching with Christian business owners as well, but most of the work that we do is with those small to medium-sized faith-based nonprofits who might not have all the resources of the more well-known ministries in our area.
Well, I do want to dig a little deeper into a day in the life on the Ministry Ventures team. But before you go into that, what exactly did you do in the corporate world for those jobs that you just referred to?
So I spent most of my career selling and managing marketing for two specific organizations, both of which happened to be in the same industry. We were suppliers into the restaurant industry. My first job for about 17 years, the company I worked for, we did front of the house. So we did tabletop items and things like that, that we sold mostly through distribution, but also directly to some of our customers. And then for the last 13 years of my career, I worked for a company that supplied all kinds of repair parts for the commercial kitchen equipment that you would find in the back of a restaurant. So in both cases, I was fortunate enough to lead sales and marketing organizations that both had about $200 million top line sales. And so, as you might imagine, that entailed some pretty large organizations with inside salespeople, outside salespeople, marketing departments, all the kinds of things that you need to generate that kind of top-line revenue.
Now, tell us a little bit about a day in the life at Ministry Ventures. What does Ministry Ventures do, and how do you plug into that system?
Ministry Ventures is a resource for those small to medium-sized faith-based nonprofits that we call ministries, not to be confused with churches or pastors, but our focus is on the leadership of the parachurch ministry, many of whom need resources and need training. So our basic platform is an online training program, similar to some of the for-profit universities. Liberty University, for example, is a very successful online learning platform. And so as part of that, we do training in five basic areas. We have the ministry model, which is your mission, vision, your values, how do you tell your story, those kinds of issues. From there, we move to fundraising, which everyone wants to know all the tricks to how to raise more money. We talk about board development, an administration segment that is critical in today's world of having all of your job descriptions in order, having a policy and procedure manual, those types of things. And then our fifth best practice is around building a culture of prayer into your ministry. And so our preferred method is that we put groups of 10 or 12 people together, and they commit to a year-long program of going through that material. And then once a month, coming together in a roundtable format facilitated by myself as the coach. So part of my job is still in the, you know, I hate to say sales world. Well, let's say recruiting. That sounds a little less secular. But I do spend a lot of my time just going and meeting the ministry leaders all the way from Anderson to Spartanburg, all through the upstate, getting involved with what they're doing, learning about their ministry, and seeing where we might be able to plug in and help them with some of our resources.
Awesome. Now, when you're having these kind of conversations, you're learning about what these people do, what they need. My guess is you're probably running into a lot of mistakes that a lot of them are making in common. So if you can kind of tell us a little bit about what those common mistakes, those most common mistakes that your typical ministry makes, and how you recommend to rectify those issues.
Okay, sure. Well, probably the most prevalent one is that they think that because they're a nonprofit or a not-for-profit, it means that they don't have to operate like a business, that they don't have to make a profit. And really, nothing could be further from the truth. You still need to operate your organization by sound principles. You still need to have top-line revenue. You still need to keep your expenses under control. And literally, you do need to show a profit at the end of the year, albeit a very small one. So that's probably the number one issue that we run into, especially with people who have just started a nonprofit or very young in their career in the nonprofit world, is thinking that they don't need to make a profit. After that, we do see a lot of mistakes made where leadership believes that they can rely on grants and corporate gifts to fuel the revenue of the ministry. And a lot of statistics, a lot of research shows that that's just not the case. Depending on the research you look at, it's somewhere between 70 and 90% of the philanthropy that occurs in this country is a person giving to a person motivated by that cause. So we try to teach the ministry leaders how to engage with a potential donor and how to tell their story, because it really is a person to a person. So I think those are probably the two biggest. And then right behind that comes the issue of having the correct people on your board of directors. A lot of times we see what we would call an I love me board. So everybody on the board loves me, you know, their family members or their best friends, and they have great intentions, but maybe they don't have any kind of specialized expertise. such as HR or IT or marketing that they can contribute to that board. And the other downfall sometimes with an I Love Me board is they might just not speak truth into you as the leader. So those are probably the three most prevalent issues that we come across and when we deal with these size ministries.
Well, I just had a thought there. Rather than having an I Love Me board, what we really need is a board that says, I'll spank you if you're not doing the right thing. Is that what we're saying? Someone who actually can tell you the truth and correct you in love on which direction you ought to go with your ministry.
That's right. I'm not sure spank is the right word, but you did get around to the better terminology, which is, you know, Paul talks about it in his Gospels is, you know, speak the truth in love. And that's really a key element of a good, solid board is that they're willing to speak truth into that leader.
Yep, that's good. That's good. I'm guessing you probably get a lot of people that come your way that are just starting out. I think you've even alluded to that. They're just starting out with their ministry or they're thinking about starting a ministry. And they come to you and say something like, hey, I've got this idea to serve. How do I make that into a 501c3? So kind of, I'm assuming that you get that kind of question. Walk us through the steps, the advice that you would give someone like that.
Right. So you meaning after I've tried to talk them out of it.
Exactly. Of course.
Of course. So I think the first question I usually ask is, tell me where you're serving now. What are you doing now in terms of service? That helps gauge about, do they have a realistic picture of what service in the nonprofit really is about? And then I like to ask, what is the idea that they have? What ministry do they want to start? And then from there, the question is someone already doing that? Is there already a ministry addressing the need and addressing the client population that you're thinking about? So if there is, why not join them? And I'm remembering Henry Blackaby, a quote from him in his book, Experiencing God, where he says, find out where God's already working and join him. And so a lot of times people have an idea that they should start their own 501c3, when in reality, someone's already addressing that, and their best course would be to go join them. At least in the beginning, go join them and be a part of it and be a part of that ministry. So sometimes then you, at that point, you hear, well, yes, but you know, there's a need for another ministry doing this, or, you know, I can do it better. To which I always say, really? You really can. So tell me why. Why are you distinctive? What is distinctive about how you're going to do this ministry? Or where you're going to do it, or whom you're going to serve. And if they've made it all the way through that list of questions and they still are convinced that this is something they should do, I give them, you know, kind of three more little bits of advice. The first one is pray, pray, pray. You really need to pray about this and make sure that, you know, you feel this calling to serve the Lord in this way by starting an organization. Second is seek wise counsel. Go talk with some people who run nonprofits. Talk to people like myself who work with other nonprofits and do coaching work or do consulting work. Really get a good, solid lay of the land before you do it. And then finally, you know, do you expect this ministry to grow into an organization, or is this more of a personal ministry? And many times someone will have an idea of a place that needs to be ministered or a need that needs to be served, and maybe they don't need to start an organization. Maybe that's just kind of a personal ministry, or maybe it could be accomplished by working through their church or through an existing ministry. Because running an organization is really what they're talking about doing. When you're talking about starting a 501c3, we're talking about running an organization. It really becomes bigger than just, how do I serve? And so I think that's a crucial question for people to think through is, am I interested in starting and running an organization, or do I just want to serve? And those are two very different ways to approach how to minister to people.
Yep, each with their own pros and cons, no doubt. No doubt with that. So sage advice from Arnold Kimmons, and that wraps up segment number one on today's Career Callings radio program. Come back in a few for segment number two. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, the more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world, my place in this world.
Welcome back from the break for segment number two of today's Career Callings radio program. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Let's resume our conversation with Arnold Kimmons of Ministry Ventures. Arnold, for much of our first segment, we spent a lot of time on your work at Ministry Ventures. Now I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about you and your journey. So if you don't mind, take a minute or two to kind of recap the worst career failure in your career journey.
Okay. So it would probably take you back to a kind of a series of scenes that would show someone in their mid-40s who had been a success, was a senior vice president running a large sales and marketing organization, who got downsized, right-sized, or outsized, whatever your preferred terminology, and then spent 14 months looking for a job. So, you know, Robbie, for the first time in my life, I was broken. And the culminating scene to all of that is somewhat funny. It's funny now, I'll say that. It wasn't quite so funny at the time, but it really kind of put me, I think, at the bottom. So, you know, I needed to make some money to, you know, support my family while I was looking for a job for these 14 months. And so it was during the Christmas holidays, and I took one of those temporary jobs at the department stores. They bring on extra people to help them. And so this was in Syracuse, New York, and you can imagine how dark and snowy and cold it is at that time of year there. And so one night they put me in the women's accessories section. And so you can guess where this is going. And so at one point I had this wonderful matronly older woman ask me to help her find her pantyhose size. And of course, I was totally unqualified to do that and just totally helpless. So, you know, here's someone who had been self-confident, self-starter, self-control, all those self things we used to put on our resumes back in the day, standing there just like clueless on what to do. And that was probably, at least from a emotional standpoint, that was probably the lowest point. But, you know, God works in our brokenness, and I think it was an important time in my life to really start to rely on Him and not on myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's actually my follow-up question to that. What was the biggest lesson that you would like the audience to learn from that experience? I'm assuming that's part of it. I don't know if there's more to the lesson than just trusting God. I say just trusting God. That sounds awful. Of course, that's the most important lesson we could ever learn. But anything else you want to add to that answer, or is that pretty much wrap it up?
Well, I could expound a little bit. You know, I had to learn to give up control and let God be in control. You know, we see those bumper stickers around that say, God is my co-pilot. And that's the people that have those are have the right spirit, and they have their well-meaning, I should say. So the people who have those bumper stickers are well-meaning. But really, it's kind of reversed. So I could have said that during those days, God was the co-pilot, but I was the pilot. So I was in control. I knew where we were going, and God was just riding along as my co-pilot in case I got in trouble. And so I think now the goal for my life now is that God is the pilot, and I'm the co-pilot. So here's an idea for some marketing geniuses out there to create a new bumper sticker that says, I am God's co-pilot. Because theology-wise or theologically, I think that's probably more accurate. And that was a lesson I had to learn, which was He needed to be in control and I needed to be the co-pilot. So I wish I could tell you that I've lived the rest of my life that way. But as we all know, there are times when I want to reach over and grab those controls myself.
Oh, yeah. It's a constant daily battle. No doubt about that. And I'm a little bit irritated with you because I was writing down that lovely entrepreneurial idea of creating that bumper sticker as you were saying to the world and to my audience that they should do it. So I'm a little bit mad at you, but that's okay. We'll get through it.
But you have the power of editing, so...
That's true.
That's right. You are in control of this, so you can edit that the way you would prefer.
That's right. That's exactly right. Awesome. Well, let me ask you this question. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what one piece of advice would you give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
So, wow, I never got a chance to be valedictorian, so is that... I'm getting to do my valedictorian speech here.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you. This is
your time to shine.
It really is. You know, we're all uniquely wired by God. And I think my biggest recommendation to, you know, a group like that would be to, you know, pursue your own calling, not someone else's, not a friend's or not a peer or not your parents, but find your own calling and pursue it. So in my thought process, a calling is kind of that intersection between passion and expertise. So passion is, you know, what are you really care about? And then expertise is, what are you good at? So find where those two things intersect. What are you good at and what are you really care about? And that, I think, is a calling. And then opportunities will present themselves, and then that's kind of the third dimension that leads to a career, is when your passion and your expertise intersect, and then you have an opportunity. That's where you get a career. So I think that would be my advice to some folks like that who are just starting out in the world, is, you know, pursue your own calling and find it, and not somebody else's.
That's great advice, great advice. And there's a good chance that someone listening today is going to be interested in trying to connect with you to learn more about you or more from you. So what's the best way people can connect with you, Arnold?
Well, probably the best way, Robbie, is to send me an email. And my email address is the first letter of my first name and my full last name at ministryventures.org. So I'll spell that out. So it's AKIMMONS at ministryventures.org. And that's all one big word with no underscores or hyphens in it. Hey, really appreciate the opportunity, Robbie. It's been fun. I enjoyed our conversation. If I could, I'd like to, in closing, just tell people about a seminar that I'm hosting on November the 17th.
Yeah, please do.
It's for executive directors and board members of ministries. It's going to be right off of I-85 in the Greer area. And if people would like to get some more information, they can send me an email. The CEO of Ministry Ventures is going to be our lead speaker, and we're going to talk about some of the common mistakes that ministries make and how to fix them. So anybody who's interested, please send me an email, and I'll respond with full the details.
That sounds great. Do you have like an online brochure or website page where I can link to that event as well?
Yes, it is mvlive.org. And that would have some additional information in general, because we do these all over the country, but it would have kind of generalized information about what that's like. And then you can also register there to attend this one. Just choose upstate from the list of potentials.
That sounds fantastic. Arnold, thanks so much for being on the Career Callings radio program today, sir. You have a great day. And that's a wrap on another edition of Career Callings. As always, we'll have a link to today's broadcast at careercallings.net/radio, where you can get everything that you heard on air with my interview with Arnold Kimmons, as well as our bonus material, stuff that Arnold and I talked about in our interview, but that we just could not fit into a 30-minute on-air program. So remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Well, let me ask you this question. What is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
You know, I wish I could say something really spiritual right now, like, well, I always seek God's will in prayer, or, you know, I turn to the Word. But, you know, that just wouldn't be true. I try to do those things, but, you know, I can't say that I always do those. As far as a personal habit, I'm a really organized and disciplined person. You know, one of my grandmothers kind of ingrained this into me long ago. She said, there's a place for everything and everything in its place. And that's probably where I kind of got started with this. But especially in my business career, to be organized and to be disciplined about things just made life easier. And so I would say that's probably, in terms of a personal habit, the thing that contributed to the success, whatever that may be, that I've had, is being organized and disciplined about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I heard you right, you said you're kind of naturally geared that way. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, for the not so naturally organized person, would you happen to have one organizational tip that you could share on how they can maybe start the process of getting organized?
Well, I think that taking control of our communication is really important. And so that would be something I would encourage people to do. So much of the communication today is electronic. So if you're not in control of your email and your social media, you know, it can just bury you. So things like, you know, only having a filing system for handling your email and only opening them once and then either filing it or doing something with it or getting, you know, deleting it. I think some things like that are really important. You can use a flag system or stars with your email, whether you have a Gmail account or an Outlook or a Yahoo. Most of them have ways that you can organize yourself in the email. And a big one is unsubscribe on a regular basis. Again, if not, you're just going to get buried in an avalanche of emails. I know I had a recent experience where my wife and I wanted to attend a cultural event. I'm not going to give anybody away and throw them under the bus. But so I went online and I bought tickets to this event, to this organization locally. And boy, they started bombing my email. And, you know, I got you know, an email every day with some special, something that's going on, some offer. And I just had to go in and unsubscribe to that. So there's a lot of things that you can do to get organized. A simple search on the internet will find a lot of them. There's a number of different systems to handle email and things like that. So those are things I would point people to. There's another a good book that I read one time called the Checklist Manifesto. And it was all about how to create checklists and to-do lists that help you get organized and simplified those repetitive tasks, things that you would do on a regular basis. So those are some of the tips I think I would probably pass along to folks.
How about a productivity tool, Arnold? Do you have a particular productivity tool that you use, whether it's internet-based or non-internet-based, that really helps you be effective and efficient in the workplace?
I do. I think that managing your communication and managing your contact with customers and prospects, if you're in the business world, or donors and volunteers, if you're in ministry, is really important for success. Many people that are listening are probably working for large organizations, and they might have these really high-powered CRM programs that usually stands for customer relationship management, though the C can sometimes stand for client. Salesforce is a big one. Infusionsoft is another big one. And so some people may already have that. But if you're a small independent like myself, or if you're a small company and you don't have something like that, you can find them on by looking at You can find them by doing a search, and you can find some very inexpensive CRM programs that probably aren't as robust as the big ones, but might do everything that you need to do. So it allows you to track your emails that you send to these clients or customers. It allows you to assign yourself a task for the future. Most of them will coordinate with your existing calendar and your contact base. So those are really powerful. So I have one that I use for my personal business development, and it has the added benefit of having one of the coolest names ever. It's called Less Annoying CRM. So
I like that. I like that a lot.
So they've already kind of given up that they can not make it totally unannoying. So they've already given into the fact that it is annoying, but it's just less annoying than the ones that are out there. But if someone's interested in finding some of these, there are at least a handful of these type of smaller contact management systems that will help you track your communication with your clients and prospects or your donors and volunteers, and allow you to kind of get a handle on where you're at with that communication with them.
I tell you, one that I started using about a month and a half ago is called Streak, S-T-R-E-A-K. And there's a free version and there's a paid version. But basically, it is made specifically for Gmail users. And so if you already are a Gmail user, it integrates directly into your Gmail and creates pipelines where you can keep track of your, you know, what stage you're in contact with either sales prospects or maybe customers or clients. And there's places for notes and reminders and call logs. It's all very neat. And since I'm a big Gmail user and have been pretty much since Gmail came out, it's been real helpful for me to be able to find something like that, that it was directly designed to integrate with that particular tool.
Does Streak offer customizable fields, and you can kind of create your own pipelines based on your own processes?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, I've already done some of that tweaking myself. So yeah, very easy to do, very easy to figure out.
That's great. And that really is the key to one of these less expensive type of programs, is that there's enough customization to it that you can kind of make it work for you instead of you working for it. So I had not heard of this one, so I'm going to dig into that one myself and try it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I have been very much more organized and more, I'd say, efficient and timely with my follow-ups due to having that tool. So I highly recommend checking it out. Now, we touched on this next question a little bit earlier, but I want to go ahead and ask it again anyway, just in case some new information might come out. Many of our listeners are small business owners, or they want to be small business owners. And you kind of drew the parallel earlier that running a small nonprofit is pretty very similar to running a small business. So what would be the three top pieces of advice you would give to someone who either has a small business or wants to start one so that they can be on the trail to success?
Well, that's a great question. And I think the first thing that comes to mind is that we need to give it over to God. So He owns it anyway. Let's recognize that it's His and that my job is to be the steward of it. So that would be my first piece of advice for someone who's doing that, is hand it over to God and let Him be responsible for the success of it, because He's fully capable of doing that. The second, I think, is I'm reminded of, you know, of one of the parables of being faithful in the small things. And I think especially starting out, that a business owner really needs to be faithful in those small things. And by that, I mean things like recognize and reward your employees and your customers or if it's clients or volunteers in the ministry world, you know, everyone likes to feel needed. And there's a lot of research over the years that has shown that if you can't give someone a raise, it's okay as long as they're getting plenty of recognition throughout the year, not just at the end of the year, of course. So I think that that's a critical step to success, is to be faithful in the small things. You know, a business is built step by step, day by day, not in huge, giant leaps. And the third one, if anyone has watched Shark Tank, they know this from Mr. Wonderful Kevin O'Leary, is know your numbers. You really do need to know what are the key two or three or four metrics that are important to your business. And then you have to watch those every single day. Depending on what business you're in, those metrics are going to be different. So they're different from a distribution company to a retail company to an internet type company. But every business has, you know, two to four metrics that they really need to be watching and need to stay on top of every single day.
That's all great advice. Now, you mentioned a book a little while ago in answer to one of our other questions, but I'm going to go ahead and ask this question just in case something else comes to mind. If you could recommend one book other than the Bible, which we already know on this show is the number one book we should all dive into and consume, what would that one book be and why?
Really, one book. So I have a question for you, Robbie. So you probably asked this question of other people. So how many people cheat and give you more than one?
Just about everybody.
I was going to say, my guess is 100%.
Yeah, so, maybe not quite that high, but most do, definitely.
So I can't do one. I'll do a few. How's that? So
okay, that sounds good.
You know,
a couple that
come to mind, and I mentioned one earlier. You know, I think Henry Blackaby's book, Experiencing God, is a great book for your own personal spiritual growth and development. And I also really like Randy Alcorn's book, The Treasure Principle, in terms of how we live and, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, is the key to that whole treasure principle. But if that's a great book, and it's a small enough book that it's an easy read, and it's one that that you could do, you know, in a small group setting. In fact, I think there's even a version that's specialized for small groups. So if you let me sneak in a couple more, a book that was particularly important to me, and I think it will be for anyone who is involved in, you know, outreach into the community, is a book by Robert Lupton called Toxic Charity. And it really will challenge your view of how we do charity in this country. And I think it's a really important book. From a business standpoint, it'd be hard to beat Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. That book's now almost 20 years old, I think. But from my view, that's probably the gold standard of business books. It's really written about very large organizations, but there's so many principles in there about leadership and about determining what's your passion and what you're good at. I think that would be a great read for anyone in the business world.
I got one more.
Oh, I just thought of one more. So let's make it a round five. And you can see that I failed. I failed times
miserably.
Five.
Failed miserably.
I did. I'll give you
go
my
right
top
in, go
five.
Right.
So we
got
to put one fiction book in there. And so, probably the most important book, I think, of at least the second half of the 20th century was Harper Lee's book, To Kill a Mockingbird. And that's a great picture of what character is. Both the book and, of course, Gregory Peck in the role of Atticus Finch in the movie. So that's my five. So I went from one
good.
To five. So
yeah, I was being fruitful and multiplying on that one, sir. But that's good. That's good. I'm actually going to add a sixth one there for you, since you mentioned
okay.
Jim Collins' Good to Great. I have not read that one yet, although it's on my list of things to read. But I did read a more recent book of his called Great by Choice, and I highly recommend that. It was written not long after the research project took 9 years, and it began after 9/11. And the whole idea behind it was, how do companies survive catastrophe? And he analyzed companies that not only survive catastrophe, but did 10 or more times better than their industry averages throughout those periods. So I highly recommend that read to you.
What I like about Jim Collins is that, and you mentioned it, that he spent 9 years researching it. It's not just someone's opinion. That book and Good to Great are about, you know, based on actual research into companies. It's not, you know, everybody's got an opinion, and they're, you know, the bookshelves in are loaded with people who have opinionated views of how to do business. But I like these books that are based on research, and they're grounded that way.
Absolutely.